Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for light, illumination, and clarity that floods every mind and every heart in this house in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Alright, you can take your seat. Genesis 1:26. Okay. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Okay? Fill the earth and subdue it. And we've said that this is a proclamation of missions, right? Or evangelism in the scriptures. God wants the earth populated with a certain kind of man, or a certain kind of men, certain kinds of men. Okay, those who are given to the worship of God, right? The same thing he says here. He says as well, Genesis 2:15, right? He puts man in the midst of Eden and tells him to tend it and keep it. Same thing, right? Which refers to the worship or the service of God. See the same thing in Genesis 3. Genesis 3 as well talks about man now going aside God's plan, or man deviating from God's plan, which is the worship and service of God in all the earth, and man now seeking self-gratification, self-idolization, right? Trying to put himself above God. Alright, but God's plan is clear. He wants the earth filled with a certain kind of men. Right? Men who love him, and men who walk in his presence and his pleasure. Alright? So we saw that after man sinned, God becomes the first evangelist, right? He goes after man and then he asks, "Where are you?" And we said, "Where there is not," because God didn't know where Adam was. It's a rhetorical question to show Adam that God knew he was lost, right? And to let Adam know that Adam was lost, right? Okay? And then we saw that in every generation, God does the same thing he did in Genesis 3. What does he do? He looks for men to let other men know about his message, his plan, and his counsel for men. Hallelujah. You know, we saw, first of all, in the days of Seth, how that men began to proclaim the name of the Lord, right? That's evangelism, right? In Genesis, okay, you see the same thing is said about Enoch, that Enoch walked with God. Hallelujah. And then afterward, you saw a man by the name Noah, who God chose as a sort of a new creation to fill the earth with the praise and worship of God. But again, that man deviated from God's plan, and then God began looking again for another man, and then he found Abram, right? Okay, and then we saw in the last session that God chose Abraham to bless the families of the world. And how does God intend to do so? By Abraham's witnessing or testimony, okay, to those nations. We saw that all the lands that were given to Abraham was not for conquest. Right? Do you get it now? Can you explain that to someone? Okay? Why did God give Abraham lands? For evangelism. Remember, all those nations were deep in idolatry. Do you get it? So what would Abraham go there to do? You know, God would be very wicked if a land is already in idolatry and then he sends people to kill those people and inherit their land. Come on. Right? You know, is he a good God? Yeah. So as a good God, what does he do? He gives those lands, you know, the land of Canaan, you know, how the children of Israel missed it. Come on. Don't you think so? How the children of Israel missed it to think that the land of Canaan was for destruction and conquest. You know, when you look through the book of Joshua, you see throughout the book of Joshua, everything they were doing there was killing. You see innocent people in their small village. all of a sudden you just say the Jews are coming. The Jews are coming. Think about that. Once they, you know, they became a trouble. They're supposed to be a blessing to the nations of the earth, right? They now became a trouble to the nations of the earth. They say, ah, the Jews are coming. The Jews, hey, they just start running. Do you get it? Okay, so they missed their mission. The land of Canaan was given to the Jews. But why was it given? That is a question, right? The land of Canaan was given to the Jews for evangelism. Okay, God tells Abraham that his descendants will possess the gates of their enemies, right? And I said the gates refers to the stronghold of the city. It refers to where you don't easily penetrate, like the White House. Okay, so when you are saying you will penetrate into the White House, you know what that means? It means you've gained access. Hallelujah. Now, access to do what? To plunder? To destroy? No, to bless. Remember, that has been God's plan all along. So the Jews missed it. Do you see it now? They possessed the gates of their enemies. Oh, yes, they did. But not for the right reasons. Amen? Destroyed, you know, brought a lot of carnage and all of that. I trust God that in the coming years, I will explain that to you very well and it will be very clear. Okay, why exactly the Jews, all those wars and everything? Because you know, the truth is, Jesus Christ comes on the scene and Jesus Christ says, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, that already explains all the wars in the Old Testament. If he says, my kingdom is not of this world, that means Jerusalem is not his kingdom. Are you following this? That means Canaan is not his kingdom. So who then told the Jews to kill those people? Amen. Food for thought. Alright, so back to this now. So he chooses Abraham, he blesses Abraham, right, with righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, and then he calls Abraham the father of many nations. And I said father means one whom the nations imitate. Are you following this? You know, Abraham technically is only the father of the Jews. Technically, who are his descendants? The Jews. But when he tells Abraham, you'll be a father of many nations, that is not only Jews, right? That cannot be literal anymore. Can I see your hand if you get it? Yeah, it can't be literal anymore. He's now speaking what, figuratively or spiritually. And it makes sense when you understand that in the Hebrew, father can be literal and figurative. Literally, it means one who gives birth to one. But figuratively or spiritually, it refers to one who orders copies. Or who orders copy. Okay? One who orders copy. A role model. So that is what Abraham was to be to the nations. Are you here? That's what Abraham was to be to the nations. Abraham was to be a model of faith. Okay? So, and we saw that Paul says that, right? He says, all who walk in the steps of Abraham, right, are his children. Hallelujah. So, God lets Abraham know that he would have children who are not Jews. Right? Children who are non-Jews. Children who are his children spiritually by faith in the same gospel that Abraham believed. Okay? And then God also now picked Abraham's family to continue that message of the gospel throughout the earth, the Israelites, okay? So, I said that God didn't choose Abraham and the Jews above the nations. Let me say it this way. God chose Abraham and the Jews for the nations. Do you get that? God didn't choose Abraham and the Jews above the nations. When I say the nations, just in your mind, just think the Gentiles, okay? Non-Jews. God didn't choose Abraham and the Jews above the nations. He chose them for the nations. Do you get that? They were now to witness to those nations so that they also could be saved. Do you get it? Okay, so that is the purpose of Abraham and his sons, the Jews. Okay, to let the world know about God's plan of salvation. So what does the Bible now do? The Bible is now the history of God's missionary work through the Jews. Hallelujah. Do you get that now? Okay, so from Genesis down, well, Malachi, yes. Then maybe we can say Matthew as well, okay, to Revelation. Technically, all of them were Jews. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, all of them were Jews, actually. Most of them, okay. So, at the end of the day, the Bible is that history book that now follows the history of the Jews as God's evangelists to the nations. Okay, so what does the Bible now do? It now begins to trace. And that's why when you read your Bible, it's like the Jews are the only people on earth. Come on. Come on. That's why some people say the Bible is biased. Actually, yes, it is. The Bible has no interest in showing what's happening in Nigeria. As I someone said, do you know that the Nigeria is in the Bible? Then Sachese was the one who showed me. Said, Nigeria is in the Bible. Say, come, let me show you. Say, in a Oh God, he went to Isaiah and he saw, I will part the waters into two. And in the middle, he said, you see, that's River Niger. Ha! That's River Niger. He said, the Y in River Niger. Ha! You know, that is the same way some folks go to Revelation and they see America there. They said, the mark of the beast is the COVID-19 vaccination. Is the mark of the beast. So, means that the mark of the beast is Obama's car. You don't have work to do. Amen. You don't have job. You know, when you start getting serious with Bible study, you won't be looking at all those things again. The history of the Bible is clear. Focusing on the Jews, okay, and how God brought his plan of salvation to pass through the Jews. Remember I told you, why did God choose the Jews? Two reasons. Number one, the seed will come through them, right? Which is the Messiah, right? The Savior of the world, right? And number two, they will be that medium through which God will let the entire world know about his message. So what does the Bible do? It begins to trace the history from Abraham to Isaac, then to Jacob, who later became Israel. Do you get it now? That is the reason for the scriptures. Hallelujah. So can we say that through Abraham's family, God will make himself known to the nations? He will bless the nations through Abraham's family. Yeah? Okay. Now let me say this about Abraham's family, and you know how God evangelized through them. You know, interestingly, God uses events in their lives to reveal himself to the unsaved. Okay? God used events in the lives of Abraham and his sons to reveal himself to the unsaved. You know, Abraham and his sons preached more via actions than words. They preached more via actions and words. You know, God can speak, right? And God can act to convince, right? God can speak, right? He can also act. Okay, but when it comes to the Jews, it seems like God chose to act more than to speak when using the Jews. Are you following this? He spoke less and acted more. You see that the Bible talks of his mighty deeds. Have you seen that before in your Bible? His mighty deeds through Israel. Look at Psalm 145 verse 10. Psalm 145 verse 10. It says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. We're reading to verse 12. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Do you see that? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. Do you see that? And the glorious majesty of his kingdom. So it's almost like God did mighty deeds so that he could use those mighty deeds to convince the unbelieving. Are you here? God did mighty deeds through Israel so that he could use those mighty deeds to convince the unbelieving. You see that again in Psalm 105 verse 1. Psalm 105 verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations. You see that again? Among the peoples. Make known his deeds amongst the peoples. So God would act mightily through Israel so that the heathen could know that he is God. Are you seeing this now? Look at Isaiah 12, 4 to 5. Isaiah 12, 4 to 5. It says, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds amongst the peoples. Now, anytime you see the nations or the peoples, those are non-Jews, okay? Do you get it? So, anytime you see the nations or the peoples, those are non-Jews. Just get that clear. So, it says, declare his deeds amongst the peoples. So, among the Gentiles, right? Okay? Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is nowhere in all the earth. Do you see that? So when it comes to the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and subsequently Israel, God used actions or events in their lives to make himself known to the unsaved nations. Can I see your hand if you are following too far? Okay, thank you very much. Let's see how this begins. You see that it begins with Abraham. Now, remember I told you that Abraham is a sojourner on the earth, right? A stranger. What does that mean? It means one who doesn't have a permanent home. So Abraham kept moving to and fro in the midst of unbelieving nations. Do you see his wisdom? Do you see why he never built a home? Because he knew that God's plan for his life and for his family was for what? The nations. Do you get it now? So what is Abraham doing? Abraham now started moving in tents. What are tents? Tents can be folded up, moved to another location, then put again. Do you get it? Because Abraham saw himself as what? A missionary. Hallelujah. Do you get it now? He saw and he knew God's plan for his life. So he went about in the midst of the unsaved nations, okay, witnessing of Yahweh to those nations. Hallelujah. Now you observe something, that everywhere Abraham went, he built altars. Everywhere he went, he built altars and he called on the name of the Lord. You see that in Genesis 12 verse 7, Genesis 12 verse 8, then Genesis 13 verse 4, Genesis 13 verse 18, Genesis 22, 9 to 14. I'll come again with that. Genesis 12, 7, 8, then Genesis 13, 4, then 18, then Genesis 22, 9 to 14. Now, why did he make altars? Because in those days, they had pagan nations that made altars toward pagan gods, right? Now, why does he make altars? To witness of what? The true God. Hallelujah. Do you see this? So the altars made by Abraham are a missionary tool. You get it? So when he goes to a town, he makes an altar. Now what would the nations around him ask? To whom is this altar made, right? To what God is this altar? Is this altar made to bow? Right? You ask him, is this altar made to bow? Is it made to Beelzebub? Then what would Abraham tell them? No, this altar is made to Yahweh. Hallelujah. The one who called me and made my family a blessing. What is he doing? Is he evangelizing? Is that missions? Do you see this now? So Abraham's actions and God's actions through Abraham was how he evangelized. Do you get it? So his actions spoke louder than his words. Are you following this? Okay. Now let's look at Abraham's first missionary journey to Egypt. His first missionary journey to Egypt. You observe that journey failed. And we'll see why. Look at Genesis 12 verse 10. Just after God gave him that mandate. Okay. Genesis 12 verse 10. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now remember, he goes there for famine, right? But is that all he will go there for? Is that all God want him to go there for? Come on. If Abraham is God's missionary, and Abraham is going to Egypt, a nation that worships idols, why? What is in God's mind? Missions. Are you seeing this? Okay. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt. Now, he did something very funny here. That he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Verse 13, please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Now, somehow said Abraham didn't lie here, because technically, you know, Sarah was his sister. Do you know that? But the truth is, why did he say this? He was lying. At the time this happened, was she his sister? No, she was his wife. Amen. Are you here? Okay, so can we say this is an action of unbelief? Huh? Can we say this is a bad witness of God? Lying? Remember, what would God use to testify to the nations? Abraham's word, actions, right? So can we say this is a bad testimony of God in Egypt? Okay, follow closely. So it was when Abraham came into Egypt that Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, now pay very close attention here. What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So he knew he lied. Do you see this? So he's supposed to preach to him, right? Witness of Yahweh to him, right? But instead, his bad character isolates him from the person. Do you see this? Can we call this a bad witness? A bad testimony? Okay? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and what? Go away. Do you see? So a bad testimony prevents him from preaching God's gospel in Egypt. Look at verse 20. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away. Do you see that? and his wife and all that he had. Now, you see something similar as well happens in Genesis 20. Okay? But this time it has a different effect. You know, in Genesis 20, Abraham is also going into another strange land. And then he lies again that Sarah is his wife. You see, he didn't learn. Okay? And then King Abimelech, okay, took her for his wife, right? Okay, he took her. But now, look at what God does. God now, in this case, interestingly, defends Abraham. Amen? He defends Abraham here, okay? And he uses this as an opportunity, okay, to reveal himself to Abimelech's family. Now, we are told that Abimelech's family, the women in that family were barren. Okay? And then God tells Abimelech, he says, Abraham, a prophet, will pray for you. Okay? And then when he prays for you, all I'm saying is in Genesis 21, he will pray for you, and then the women were healed. Do you get this? So, God now worked through Abraham's, can we say, unbelief again, alright, to now make himself known to the king. Alright? Look at what Abimelech says about Abraham in the next chapter. Okay, everything I said is in Genesis 20, pardon me. Now, this is 21. Okay? Genesis 21, 22. It says, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, what? God is what? With you in all that you do. Do you see that? Genesis 22, 21. God is with you. Now, Abimelech is an idol worshiper. So, by him saying God is with you, what happens here? Has he come to know the true God? True Abraham? Okay, so what does God do here? God evangelized to Abimelech, in this case, through a miracle. Okay, so what is God doing? He's spreading the worship of God, the knowledge of God in the heathen nations through Abraham. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay, later on, we'll find out as well that the pagan kings come to know God through Abraham. Look at Genesis 14, verse 17. Genesis 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, that is Abraham, at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were there with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. Now 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. 22. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, now pay close attention, I have raised my hand to the Lord. Do you see that? Now remember Sodom. Right? Okay? It says I raised my hand to the Lord. Remember, they don't serve God there. So when he says I raised my hand to the Lord, what was he doing? Is he showing him the Lord? Are you seeing this? Okay, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. What is he doing? He's introducing the king of Sodom to Yahweh. Evangelism? Yes! Hallelujah! Are you seeing this? Now 23, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So he had grown since Genesis 12. Right? Did he grow? Hallelujah. Okay? Now remember as well that Abraham's mission is not only global, but familial. It's not only global, but familial. Familial, F-A-M-I-L-I-A-L. Okay? So that means that Abraham is also to teach his family about the true God, right? Remember, his family also will be the medium through which God will bless the nations, right? So after Abraham knows the Lord, what is he supposed to do? Teach his family, right? As well. So can we see personal evangelism? Familial evangelism within his family, right? Can we also see global? The king of Sodom, Abimelech, Egypt, okay? Alright, and you see that this is exactly what Abraham did. Abraham chose, told Isaac, okay, about the true God. He taught him about the true God, okay. And you see that Isaac also did the same thing to Jacob. You know that when they went up the mountain in Genesis 22, and it tells Isaac that God will provide for himself or provide himself a lamb. You know, that's letting Isaac know about the true God. Yeah? Okay, yeah. So he let his family know about that God, and that family continued that same knowledge. And that is why you see that all through the life of Abraham's family, God kept revealing himself to the nations. You observe that when Rebekah is chosen in Genesis 24 for Isaac through a word of wisdom, you know, Abraham actually sent his servant, right, to look for, and then the servant actually went armed with the revelation gifts. Amen. Okay, and he spotted the wife that was best suited for his master's word or his master's son. Now look at what Laban says in verse 50, Genesis 24. After Rebekah is chosen, you see that it makes Laban aware of the presence of God. Look at Genesis 24 verse 50. He says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. Now Laban is an idol worshiper. Amen. Are you seeing their evangelizing via word actions? Do you see that it goes beyond saying, ereo, ereo, olorunbo? Do you see that? You see that even in their actions, right? Okay? The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. Hallelujah. So this continues with Isaac. You observe that when God prospered Isaac in Genesis 26, 12 to 25, it makes King Abimelech and his people admit that the Lord was with him. In Genesis 26, 12 to 25, let's look at it. It says, then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to him, why have you come to me since you ate me and you have sent me away? Now look at 28. But they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is what? With you. You know, they had sent Isaac away, and Isaac prospered more away from them. Do you see it? And he made them aware that what? The Lord is with you. So why were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blessed? What was their prosperity for? To point the nations to God. Are you following this? Folks, are you here? That was the reason for their prosperity. Was the prosperity the blessing? But was it to point to the blessing? Yes. He says, I know now that the Lord is with you. So he said, let us now have an oath between us. You see, the Nazarite coming back to beg. Hallelujah. He says, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now what? The blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you see this? So the blessings of God on Isaac was to woo Abimelech and his people. Do you get it? Woo, in quotes, entice. Are you seeing this? So God is very brilliant. Do you see this? You see the wisdom of our God. He's using actions to convince the unbelieving. So prosperity was not God's blessing to Abraham, but God used prosperity to point men to the blessing. You get it? So what is he using Abraham's blessing to do? He's saying to them that if I can bless you physically, how much more the spiritual? Hallelujah. Do you see this? So the physical blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and his children and their children is toward, point toward the spiritual. Are you here so far? Remember, God will use actions, events in the life of Abraham and his family toward minister to the unsaved. Are you here? Now you see that this continues as well with Jacob, the son of Isaac. You see that in Genesis 30 verse 43. Genesis 30 verse 43. You see that Jacob also became very prosperous as well. Very wealthy. Very rich. It says, then the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, camels and donkeys. So he became very, 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 very wealthy. Okay, now why again was he made worthy? Remember, to point the attention to God. Okay, so God is showing us heathen nations that what you are searching for, I can give it already. Do you get it? You know, they are looking at their idols for prosperity. You know, back then they will have things like the gods of heaven, the gods of wealth, the gods of war, you know, the gods who give them things. But God is saying, what you are looking for in idols, in demons, I can give you, and much more. Hallelujah. The spiritual, the blessing of righteousness by faith. So as Abraham, Isaac, and his sons go through those heathen lands as pilgrims and sojourners, foreigners on the earth, what are they doing? They are going as God's missionaries in those lands to let them know about him. Hallelujah. To let him be known in those nations. Then you see that later on, for Jacob, a famine arose that made Jacob and his family go down to Egypt. You remember the story? Look at Genesis 46 verse 5. You know, it's in times like this that you know those who really do their Bible reading. Oh Lord, my God. Are you there? Genesis 46 verse 5. Okay? Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, their wives, in the cart which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. Remember, Joseph is now governor there, right? Okay? So they took their livestock and their goods which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him. Do you see this? Can we say all of Abraham's family? Okay? Pay close attention. His sons and his daughters and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Remember, what is the role of Israel on the earth? Evangelism. Right? So remember, God wanted Israel to reveal him toward the unbelieving nations. So if Israel is going to Egypt, what is in God's mind? Evangelism in Egypt. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? Then you see that later on, the Jews then became slaves of the Egyptians. Look at Exodus 1, verse 8. Exodus 1, verse 8. It says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set tax masters over them to afflict them with their burdens. So they became slaves. Do you see that? And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more the what? Multiplied and what? Grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with vigor, and they made their lives bitter with bad bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And their service in which they made them serve with was with vigor. Do you see this now? Now, is this God's plan for Israel in Egypt? Why were they sent there? To evangelize or to be doing Omo Ishe? Omo Odo? Okay? Are you seeing this? Okay, he didn't send them to Israel, to Egypt, for manual labor. Okay? But to fulfill God's promise to Abraham. So what will God do? What does God always do in such situations? He finds a man. Hallelujah. Okay? So what does he do again? He finds a man. His name Moses. Are you following this? Okay? Now, we believe that Moses went to Israel to set Israel free. Have you heard that before? That God sent Moses to Egypt to set the Israelites free. And you know, that is true, but that is not the main purpose why he was sent to Egypt. That's not the main purpose. We'll look at that now. God sent Moses to Egypt to let Egypt know about the true God. Are you following this? You know, Pharaoh didn't know God. Look at Exodus 5 verse 1. Exodus 5 verse 1. It says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Is this making him known? Remember, this is a man that does not know God. When he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, is this making him known? Immediately, what will happen in Pharaoh's mind? He says, who is the Lord? Right? 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 Hallelujah. He says, let my people go, that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. We'll see what this means shortly. Verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Do you see? So he doesn't know. Right, but he's inquiring, right? Okay, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I do not know the Lord. Ha, you will know him. Nor will I let Israel go. Can we call this an unbeliever? Someone who doesn't know the Lord. Okay, so Moses is sent primarily as an evangelist to Egypt. Okay, Are you following this? He is sent primarily as an evangelist to Egypt. You see that Moses was sent even to evangelize to the children of Israel themselves. The children of Israel also had forgotten God in Egypt. Not just the Egyptians, though. Even the children of Israel started worshipping idols in Egypt. Joshua tells us that. Look at Joshua 24 verse 14. Put your hand here, we're coming back there. Joshua 24 verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served." Do you see that? On the other side of the river. And where? In Egypt. So the Jews in Egypt, what were they doing? They were serving the gods of Egypt. Are you seeing this? It says, serve the Lord. Ezekiel also tells us the same thing. Ezekiel 20 verse 6. Ezekiel 20 verse 6. It says, "On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all the lands. Then I said to them, each of you throw away," now pay close attention to this, "the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with" what? "The idols of Egypt." Do you see that? "I am the Lord your God." Verse 8. "But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they" what? "Forsake the idols of Egypt." Do you see that? Then I said, so you understand why later on when Moses went up the mountain and then they didn't sing for 40 days and then they said, "Give us a god," right? Then Aaron said, what did Aaron do? He made a golden image, right? You know, they had always been used to that. That didn't just start to, your Bible say, "Oh, bear a lot of, oh God. Help me." Right? It has always been. Right? So they did not forsake the idols of Egypt. That's referring to the golden calf. Okay, then I said, "I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt." So you know, some people thought that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, what they were doing, they were praying to God. Do you see that most of the things they were taught are wrong? We're told that they were crying out to God in bondage. You know, because of Exodus 2:23. Now turn there. Exodus 2:23 to 2:25. You know, they believe that the children of Israel were praying to God, you know, and then God now heard their cry. But does Exodus 2:23 to 2:25 say that? Let's see. It says, "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, then the children of Israel groaned," and pay close attention, "because of the bondage." Where does it say they groaned to God? I caught you there, right? You know, this is what happens when we just skip verses without reading in context or reading, paying attention to details. It says, "And they cried out to" who? Amen. "And there was silence in the congregation. And their cry came up to" who? "To God." Now, question, did they groan to him? Did they cry to him? But did their cry get to him? Yes. Because of the bondage. Why were they shouting to God or because of the bondage? Because of the bondage. You know, anyone who is beaten will shout, "Hey!" Does it mean I say, "Hey, look at me?" Does it? You know, hallelujah. You know, when you are flogging somebody, say, yeah. Does it mean I'm saying, "Oluwad Abraham, that doesn't mean that's what he's saying. But for the longest period of time, people thought that's what was going on here. No! But even in that cry, God heard. Hallelujah. You know, in the midst of this cry, you know, they were still worshipping idols. You see their head. Still worshipping idols. Oh. So God heard their groaning. So is his faithfulness dependent on them? Hallelujah. Okay? And God remembered, hallelujah, his covenant with who? Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. Hallelujah. Okay? So they are worshipping idols, but God chooses to deliver them irregardless of their conduct. They didn't cry out to God, okay? Okay? They didn't cry out to him. But yet God chose to hear them nonetheless. Remember, they had forgotten God in Egypt. Look at Exodus 3:13. Exodus 3:13. It says, "Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say to me, what is his name?" Do you see? So you see, they had forgotten him, right? Okay, what shall I say to them? You know, to say this means they don't know who he is. Okay, they don't know who he is. Then, and God said to them, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Is this evangelism? Making God known? Okay, so you see, it was not just for Pharaoh, right? Also for Israel. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So what is God doing here? Simple, he is reintroducing himself again to Abraham's family. He had forgotten who he was. Look at verse 16. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers. He lets them know who he is again. It says, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And that is why you see that when Moses was going to Egypt, God gave him signs and wonders. And you know, we thought that the signs and wonders were for Egypt. But actually, those signs and wonders were actually to convince the Jews. Look at Exodus 4 verse 1. You know, this is what happens when you skim. You know, when you are fast, you won't see it. But when you take your time, you will see it. Look at Exodus 4 verse 1. It says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. Who is they? The Jews. Or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And he became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, why was this sign given? Look at verse 5. That what? They, the Jews, may believe that the God of what? Their fathers, the Jews, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob as well, appeared to you. Do you see that? So, Moses is not only Israel's deliverer. He is also Israel's evangelist. Do you see this now? Is Israel's evangelist. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, Put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, do you see that? Now heed the message of the first sign. You see message? Come on. Message. Why was the sign given? Is the sign the message? Does the sign point to the message? Okay, that they may believe. Remember, I've told you sign means was supernatural indications. Okay, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. Signs are given to show that God sent this one. That's the purpose of signs in the scriptures. God sent. When it says these signs shall follow, it means God sent these ones. Okay, are you following this? Is this sign shall follow? Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Okay. May believe the message of the latter sign, and it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, I shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Do you see this? So Moses goes as Yahweh's missionary to both the Egyptians and the Jews in Egypt to point them to the true God. So what does God do again? God again uses signs and wonders to get the attention of the unbelieving. That's the reason for signs and wonders. Is to get the attention, to catch the attention of the unbelieving so that they can believe. Take note that signs and wonders are not the message, but they are to what? Point to the message. Remember, the main function, the main purpose of Moses in Israel is what? Preaching, not signs and wonders. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Okay, look at verse 10 again of Exodus 4. Verse 10 of Exodus 4. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, observe that. Observe what it says. It says, I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. All of this, what does it speak of? Not eloquent, slow of speech and tongue. What does it speak of? Speaking. Okay? So he knew that the task required speaking. He knew why God was sending him there, not as a signs and wonders miracle worker. Are you following this? But as what? A preacher. Okay, then he says, I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. And I've explained that already, that it doesn't mean he was a stammerer. People have said Moses was a stammerer. Go on joshbanks.org. Amen. Check articles. You'll see something there that will help you with this. This simply means he didn't understand Hebrew. Amen. Okay. And Egyptian, okay? He didn't get that anymore. And you know the reason why in that article. Now look at verse 11. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who has made the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now look at verse 12. Now therefore, go, and I will be with what? Your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Is this preaching? Okay, look at 13. But he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Now verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said to him, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that what? He can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him. You see words again? A message. And put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. And I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be what? Your spokesperson. Can I say your preacher? Huh? Your speaker. Okay? To the people. And he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. That means a leader. Okay? You shall be to him as a leader. That's what God then means. Okay? Did you get that? And you shall take this rod in your hands, with which you shall do what? The signs. So is Moses' job clear? Why is he going to Egypt? To make God known in all the land. So signs and wonders are given to Moses to convince as he preaches. But signs and wonders are not the message. Just like the prosperity of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not the message, right? Imagine if I go and I say, the God bless Abraham, and then I'm looking at money. Have I missed the point? Yes. What was the point? Righteousness by faith. The blessing of what? Righteousness by faith, not money. So same with Moses here. Moses is not sent as a miracle worker to Egypt. Miracles are secondary to Moses' function in Egypt. So Moses goes to Egypt to deliver Israel, but that is not his main function there. Remember, God wants the worship of God in where? All the earth. Does that include Egypt? Does that include Egypt? Does that include the Jews in Egypt? Does that include the Egyptians in Egypt? The non-Jews? Right? Okay. And this is why Moses says in Exodus 5 verse 1. It says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may what? Hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, hold a feast to me there refers to worship. So, why was Israel set free? Do you see this? Do you see? You know, most people don't see this when they read this part. Says, so let my people go, that, do you see, they may what? Hold a feast to me in the wilderness. That is worship. Are you seeing this? Remember, they were worshiping idols in Egypt, right? So he delivers them toward the worship of the true God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met us. Please let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice toward the Lord our God. That's worship. Lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. You see, he continues saying this word worship or service to the Lord. Look at Exodus 7 verse 16. And he shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may what? Serve. Do you see that? Serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. That word serve is that same Hebrew word that we saw earlier on in Genesis 2:15. When God told Adam, when he says God put Adam in the garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Is that word tend that we saw? Awbad, right? Which actually refers to word worship. Do you see? So is God repeating Genesis 2:15 here? Is it the same thing? Okay. Look at Exodus 8 verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may what? Serve me. He repeats it again. You see that again? Exodus 9 verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may what? Serve. That word again, albad, is used there. You see it again in verse 13 of the same chapter, Exodus 9:13. Then the Lord said to Moses, Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Do you see that again? Exodus 10 verse 3. The same thing repeated there again. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Is that faith? Is that faith? Okay, let my people go that they may what? Serve me. See that again. So God's plan is for Israel to go back to what? The worship of the true God. Now the question is, can they stay in Egypt and worship God? Right? You ask questions when you study your Bible. Say, if the worship of God is why God, you know, is God's plan for Israel, so why can't Israel stay in Egypt? Remember, what is God's plan? To fill what? The earth. You get it? God's plan is not to monopolize his worship in a place. Are you following this now? It's to spread the worship of the true God all around the world. So they are not meant to stay in a place. Do you get it? The Jews were not meant to stay in a place till they had gone round the nations heralding God's message. Hallelujah. Okay? So God wanted Israel to leave the gods of Egypt to fill the earth with his worship, just like he said to Abraham. And that is why he sent Moses, okay? So, Moses is first an evangelist before anything else. You know, and this is very fascinating because he then puts Exodus 2 into perspective. Let's look at it again. Exodus 2, 23. It says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant. Do you see that? With Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God would acknowledge them. Now, question. When God heard Israel's cry, what did he remember? His covenant with Abraham, right? Now, what was that covenant? That through his family, all the nations of the earth will be what? Blessed. So, what did God remember? Can we say evangelism? So, why is Moses sent to Egypt? To deliver Abraham's family so that they can carry out God's plan. Are you seeing this now? To fill the earth with that worship of God. So God wants Israel to first of all abandon all our idols and then continue our role as his evangelists. Are you seeing this? But remember, God wants Egypt saved also. Right? Now look at what God says to Exodus 9:16. To Pharaoh in Exodus 9:16. He says, but indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may what? Show my power. Can you say, herald my power? Huh? Herald my power, make my power known in you, and that my name may be what? Declared in all the earth. So what is God doing here? He's repeating his promise to Abraham. Remember, he wants his name in all the earth, including Egypt. Do you get it now? That is why Pharaoh was raised. Are you seeing this? Okay, but Egypt refused. Like Adam, right? Like the generation of Cain, right? In the time of Noah, right? They refused. You see that Egypt now became a bad example. You observe that time and time again, the word ardent is used for the Egyptians. Have you seen that before in your Bible reading? Ardent. You know, when today when we say in law, is a hardened criminal. You see some criminals, they are in the court. And they are hissing at the judge. You know, you are very ardent. This is the person that can decide your fate, right? And then they are hissing at him. I know they teach us in law that always ensure that your client looks innocent. So you dress him well. You know, if your client has tattoos, you cover it up, amen. You don't want the judge saying that. You know, you dress him up in a suit, if you can. Give him a suit. Let him be crying on his seat. Ah! Even though it doesn't mean it. Because they say lawyers are liars. Well, Jesus is the advocate, amen. You know, so, but still, there are some who are ardent. The lawyer will be saying, shut up now. Say, what? What can he do to me? You know, that is Pharaoh. Are you getting this now? It's called ardent. Several times, you see that use Exodus 8:15. That word ardent, okay? Exodus 8:15, Exodus 8:32, Exodus 9:34. okay, used for just one set of people. That word "adding" translates the Hebrew word "kabad," K-A-B-A-D, kabad, which means unresponsive. Unresponsive. What refuses to hear or yield to instructions. Are you following this? What refuses to hear or yield to instructions. That's the word kabad. You see that in Exodus 7 verse 16, it says of Pharaoh that you will not hear. Turn your Bible there. Exodus 7:16. It says of Pharaoh, you will not hear. The word hear there in the Hebrew is the word shama. S-H-A-M-A. S-H-A-M-A, which means to listen to or to obey. Okay? To listen to or to obey. Can we call that the obedience of faith? Huh? Okay? So when, what does Pharaoh do? He refused to hear. Is that unbelief? Is that unbelief? So what is Egypt? Egypt is an example of one who refuses God's offer of life. Are you following this? The destruction in Egypt is not from God. The destruction in Egypt is to show what will happen to those who reject God. Their sins will destroy them. Can I see your hand if you get this? So Egypt is an example of those who refuse God's message. Okay? You know, God uses signs to show himself to Egypt as a true God. Okay? You know, plagues will come on Egypt. Did God send the plagues? What brought the plagues? Their sins. What does God do when the plagues come? He delivers Israel, right, from the plagues. Why? To show Egypt what he can also do for them. Are you seeing this? So Exodus is God's missionary work. Hallelujah. So plagues will come, he will insulate Israel to show that once you put faith in me, I save you from the destruction of your sins. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 8:22. Exodus 8:22. It says, and in that day I will set apart. Do you see that? The land of Goshen. That is where Israel dwells. Do you see that? The in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Do you see this? Why does he set apart Goshen? So that the land was may know that he is the Lord. Do you see that? Is he evangelizing? Is he evangelizing? Hallelujah. So he protects Israel from the plague to show Egypt what he can do for them as well. He can also protect them. Okay? He is using actions to convince. You see the same thing in Exodus 9 verse 4. Exodus 9 verse 4. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Do you see that? So it makes a difference between the both of them. But the Egyptians remain hardened. They remain hardened. Okay? So eventually he took the last plague, the third plague, right? The tenth plague, right? Okay? Where their children were killed. He took that. Say, hey! Oh yeah, be going. Right? So they now let the children of Israel go. But still, they were adamant. You see that in Exodus 14. They now began to chase the children of Israel in the Red Sea. Remember that incident, right? Exodus 14. Now again, why did God part the Red Sea? You're laughing now, right? Do you get it now? Thank you very much. Why did he part the Red Sea? Look at it. Look at verse 15. Exodus 14. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. This story is very ridiculous. Amen. Only the power of God can do this. This does not make any sense. Okay? I'm telling you, this doesn't make any sense. That the waters dry up and then you have water on one side and one side. I tell you, right? For me, this is for the Old Testament. This for me, you see the way I'm saying it? Does it make sense? This can only be a miracle. Okay? And does our God do miracles? Hallelujah. And I indeed will add in the heart of the Egyptians and they will follow you. Now pay close attention. So I will gain what? Honor. Do you see why I parted it now? Over Pharaoh and over his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptian shall know that what? I am the Lord. Hallelujah. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horses. So question, did God part the Red Sea to destroy the Egyptians? Huh? Imagine, I mean, it shows you how unbelief is a very terrible thing. Don't you think so? I mean, imagine a God parts the Red Sea for his people to follow through. You know, if I'm the one, I don't know about you, but I have sense. Amen. Do you know what I'll do? I will kneel down and say, what a God. I mean, what else are you looking for? That is a great display of power, right? Don't you think so? But unbelief will remain unbelief. Once a man has made up his mind not to believe God's word, there's nothing that will happen. Amen. So you see, man's will is involved. Right? Right? Okay? Yeah, they refuse to believe. You know, we are told that it was Moses' faith that parted the Red Sea, right? You see that in Hebrews 11:29. His faith parted the Red Sea. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians are attempting to do so. Can we say without faith, were destroyed? Do you see that? So what destroyed them in the midst of the sea? Their unbelief. Do you see it now? Do you see it now? Okay? God tried his best to ensure that the worship of God came to Egypt. Did he? Did he do everything he could? Yet, they remained that way. And then they are destroyed. And then some people will say, you see, God is very wicked. Why did he not still help them, even in the Red Sea? No. He gave them several chances, right? The long suffering of our God is salvation. Hallelujah. But still, an unbeliever, you know, will stay that way. He refuses to put faith in God. Now, having left Egypt, you now see that for 40 years, the children of Israel are in the wilderness, right? Walking through the wilderness. And you see something miraculous that happens. Israel in the wilderness doesn't have any source of clothing, right? You know what the wilderness is? It's a bush where there is no civilization or settlement. Yet, they use the same clothes for 40 years. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? They use the same clothes for 40 years. They use the same shoes. In fact, I think it was in Moses or Joshua that says that their shoes did not wear out, right? For 40 years, they were fed without going to the market. You know, we are told that there are over 3 million people. Think about that. So for 40 years, God blesses and provides for Israel in the wilderness. Why? To show the other nations, right, that he is a self-sufficient one. Hallelujah. To show the other nations that he is a self-sufficient one. You see that in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. He records this, okay? It shows you that God's wondrous acts was to make the people to believe. Do you see this? Do you see this? You know, that can only happen via a miracle. Imagine wearing the same clothes for 40 years and it doesn't wear out. Miracle niye. Are you following this? That is the power of God. So God picks a people for himself, right? And God provides for them for 40 years aside the nations to show them that, see, the way I'm blessing these guys, apart from you, I also want you to share in this blessing. Are you following this? So can we say the children of Israel are God's parade to the nations? Huh? They are God's evangelism parade. What God is using them to do is Kireo. But what is he doing? He's using what? Their actions. Do you get it? Or acts, miracles. His actions rather. Acts and miracles. To let those nations know about himself. Are you here? Hallelujah. Now God is quite interesting, you know. He doesn't think the way we think. Imagine, you know, we think that God's power is to force salvation on people. But look at how he goes about making people understand, you know, his plans and purposes and counsel. You see, he doesn't force them. You know, rather, he's wooing them like a lover. Do you get it? Do you get it? You know, he just says a lot about his character. Don't you think so? You know, he's just like saying, bro, Gabe is... how do I say this now? Okay. This is my wife. That illustration will not work because it will seem like you also can be my wife. Okay, but let me use it so you get it. Okay, this is my girlfriend. So I give her money. I give her shawarma. Do you get it? I give her shawarma, Tori shawarma. I always ensure that she's well fed. I take her to Domino's. You know, I get her cars. You know, for the first week of our relationship, I give her 5 cars.
Ha!
You know, I give her 10 iPhone. Now Bugattis, amen. You know, then I give her 10 Bugattis, right? And then, you know, I'm doing all of that. Then I get her 5 houses in Lekki. Amen. I'm just taking good care of her. You know, just of that in the first 1 month, Sister Cynthia is now shining. She's the glory of the Lord is now very radiant on her, right? And then I'm doing all of that so that Sister Jane can see and be jealous and also come to me. That is God. Do you get it? Do you get it? Now, not that God says I must not have 2 girlfriends. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay? But that is what God does with Israel. Do you get it? We'll look at all of that now. Israel is now God's goodness parade to the nations. He's telling them that, see what I'm doing for Israel. I can do the same for you. Therefore, come to me. Do you see this? Now, after Israel is delivered from Egypt, Moses now reminds them again of God's promise. Remember what the promise is? To fill the earth. With what? The knowledge and the wisdom and the worship of God, the counsel of God. How will this happen? By Abraham's family. So he lets them know again through Moses about his plan for their lives. Look at Exodus 19 verse 3. Exodus 19 verse 3. Are you here? Are you following this so far? Are you learning? Okay, thank you very much. Exodus 19 verse 3. This is at Mount Sinai, right? And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, to the children of Israel, you have seen. Do you see that? Why were all those things done? So that they can what? See. Remember, the evangelism was not just to Egypt, but also to what? To the Israelites. Do you see that? So you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. Do you see that? And brought you to myself. Hallelujah. Then he repeats what he said to Adam, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob again to them. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and what? Keep my covenant. Is this Genesis 12, 1 to 3? Then you shall be what? A special treasure to me above all people. Now, you will understand what this means shortly. For all the earth is mine. Do you see that? For all the earth is mine. Now, that word special treasure is quite interesting in the Hebrew. Special treasure. The phrase, pardon me, special treasure is quite interesting in the Hebrew. Is the Hebrew word segolau. Segolau. S-E-G-U-L-L-A-H. S-E-G-U-L-L-A-H. It means a prized possession. A prized possession. It was used for precious possessions. You see how it's used in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3. It says, moreover, because I have set my affection on them, on the house of the Lord, I have given to the house of the Lord, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure, my own segolau. That's that phrase there, okay? Special treasure of gold and silver. Do you see that? Used for prized possessions. You see that used again in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 8. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 8. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures, the segolau, okay, of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. Okay, so when God calls Israel his special possession, they immediately understood what he meant. It simply means they are valuable to him. Are you following this? He says, my special treasure above the nations, right? Now, is he choosing them above the nations in the sense that he's choosing them with the exclusion of the nations? Has that ever been in God's plan to exclude the nations? So if he's choosing them, what would it be for? For the nations, right? So my prized possession above the nations is within a context. That is, among all the nations, I have chosen you to use you Okay, to let the nations know about me. Do you get that? So is there is prized possession in a context. The context of what? Evangelism. Do you get it now? Okay, thank you very much. Look at Exodus 19:6 again. The next verse. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Now pay close attention to this. A kingdom of priests. Actually, the Hebrew here is better translated as kingly priests. Okay? Kingly priests. Now the priest, that is the Kohen in the Hebrew, K-O-H-A-N, okay, the priest, was one in the Jewish custom who mediates for others. Is one who mediates for others. Mediate spelled M-E-D-I-A-T-E-S. He mediates for others. A priest in that culture is one that reconciles men back to God. Are you following this? One that reconciles men back to God. So what was Israel's role supposed to be to the nations? She was supposed to what? Reconcile them back to God. That's why they are called what? Kingly priests. Do you get this now? So God wanted this for the whole nation. He wanted the whole nation as a whole to be a tool to reconcile the nations of the world back to him. Is this what he told Abraham? Yes. In you what? All the families, mishpachot, right? Are Adama, will be Barak. Right? So he's saying the same thing here. Now, what is he? He's putting more detail on that blessing, right? Right? What does it mean? You will now bring those nations, those mishpachot Adama, back to me. Hallelujah. Remember, they are in sin, right? To their idols, right? So Israel will now be that tool to bring them back to God. Now, he wanted this for the whole nation as a whole. But as usual, the children of Israel, in rebellion and stubbornness, said no. Rather, they chose Moses alone to occupy this role. You see that in the next chapter. Look at Exodus 20, verse 19. Remember, was a priest. Who is a priest? A priest is someone who speaks to God, right? Then comes to people, speaks to them, right? Then goes back to God and speaks to God for the people, right? He is like a mediator between God and men, right? God wanted this for Moses or for the entire nation. For the entire nation. But look at what they told Moses. Exodus 20:19. It says, then they said to Moses, you speak with us. Do you see that? And we will hear. But let not God speak with us. Can we say we don't want to be priests? You see this? It says, let not God speak with us, lest we die. So they now made Moses the mediator when God wanted the entire and whole nation of Israel to be mediators. Do you see this? So Moses will now be God's representative to Israel when God actually wanted the entirety of Israel to be representatives to the nations. So, can we say Israel as a whole refuses to carry out that duty of reconciling the pagan nations with God? Yes. Then it continues in Exodus 19 verse 6. It says, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. The Hebrew literally says, a nation of saints. Hallelujah. A nation of saints. Saints are holy ones. That's what saints means. Holy ones, H-O-L-Y. Now, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? Now, some have thought that to be holy means to be sinless. No. Not quite. To be holy means to be wholly set apart. Do you get that? To be holy means to be holy. Do you get that? Set apart. Holy, H-W-L-Y. W-H-O-L-E-L-Y. Okay? Holy, set apart, or reserved for the use of another. That's what it means to be holy. Do you get this? You know, this microphone is holy to me. Do you get what I'm saying? This microphone is holy to me because of all the microphones in Ibadan, I picked this one to use to preach. That's what holy means. Can I see your hand if you get it? It means to be wholly set apart for a use. You know, you can't carry this to the club. Say, yo, are you in the house tonight? You know, you can't, you know, if you ask us to, for this for the club, no, we won't give it to you. This is holy for preaching. Do you get it? So, holy means set apart for a particular function, for a particular task. Do you get it now? So when God calls Israel holy, that means he has called them to perform a task. Hallelujah. And remember, what is the task? He chose the entire nation to reveal himself to what? The nations. So Israel was never meant to enjoy God alone. Are you seeing this? Israel was never, put that in capital letter, amen, meant to enjoy God alone. God wanted Israel to have a reconciling relationship with the nations. Are you seeing this? But as we'll see later on, Israel missed the point. You know, they later became proud and selfish, and then they excluded all others. And you know, this wasn't God's plan for the Jews. Remember, what is God's plan? That as the Jews walk through the heathen nations, their word is testimony, is witnesses to those nations, right? Yes. That is why Israel is called a holy nation. That is, you are the nation set apart to reveal me to the nations. Do you get it now? That's why they are called his prized possession above the nations. Not above the nations in the sense that God hates the nations, but actually that choosing is for the nations, right? His prized possession, that is, they are the ones he chose above the nations to reveal himself. Hallelujah. So as Israel goes through those heathen nations, right, through the land of Canaan, what is in God's mind? Israel killing people. Can you see that was never God's plan? So where did Israel see that? Are you following what I'm saying here? Where did they see that? It was God's plan for Israel to go through Canaan and be killing children. Infanticide. Patricide. Huh? No. To be his witnesses. And you see that Moses also said the same thing. You know, when the children of Israel were supposed to cross to Canaan in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is Moses' last sermon to them. Because they would cross into the promised land while he, you know, God told him he would not cross there, right? Right? Okay, so look at what Moses says to the children of Israel. Look at Deuteronomy 4 verse 5. As we begin to close now. Deuteronomy 4 verse 5. It says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgment. Now Moses is talking here. Just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them where? In the land which you go toward possess. Now we've explained what possess means, right? Right? To destroy. Okay? Now therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is what? Your wisdom and your understanding where? In the sight of the peoples. So as they carry out those duties, you know, those statutes of God, what is happening? Their actions, their behaviors is what? Evangelizing to those nations. Are you seeing this? So even Moses told them why they were going there. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this now? In the sight of the peoples. Oh, we hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Hallelujah. You know, this is very interesting because it shows that Israel going through those lands was supposed to be for what? Evangelism. Like we've said, God wanted to use Israel to attract those nations. He wanted to show them what they were missing by refusing him. Remember, this is how Israel will possess the gates of their enemies. Hallelujah. And that's why Isaiah tells us that God raised Israel as a light to the nations. As we begin to close now, God raised Israel as a light to the nations. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 6. Isaiah 42 verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people as a light. Do you see that? To the Gentiles. This is referring to what? Israel. But you see that when Israel didn't carry out this purpose, it was referred, it later was transferred to Jesus. Do you get this now? God said this to Israel, but because Israel refused to carry this out, he now made Jesus the light to the Gentiles. Do you get it? So the duty is now transferred. We will see that in this teaching, to Jesus. Jesus is now the fulfillment of God's evangelism plan. Hallelujah. Are you here so far? Is this blessing someone? Look at Isaiah 60 verse 1. Isaiah 60 verse 1. So God's plan was for Israel to be a light to the Gentiles. That means they were in darkness, right? Okay. Isaiah 60 verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Have you heard how this is used today? Say, I tell you, brethren, arise and shine, for your light has come. You see, you are laughing. because you know more and more when you know you, I'm just grateful to God for the benefit of a sound local church, right? A place where the word of God is clearly explained, right? And sincerely explained, right? You know, you just find out that most of, in fact, 80% of what we were taught was not true. You know, this, I remember for me, I almost mentioned the denomination, it was always used for a theme, for the teen Sunday. You say, arise and shine, for your light has come. Who is arising? I don't know. Shall I arise, shall? Who is the light? I don't know. Who is y'all? I don't know. That is Israel. Are you following this? That is Israel. This is referring to what? Israel. It says, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That is Israel. Look at the next verse. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Can we say the nations? And deep darkness the people. Is that the nations? The people in darkness? The unsaved? The unbelieving? Right? But the Lord will arise over you. Do you see that? And his glory will be seen upon you. By who? By your classmates in school. Then you will arise this week. You will arise. Amen. Huh? Who is seeing the glory? Huh? The Gentiles. Do you see this? Look at verse 3. The Gentiles, having seen the glory, what would they now do? Shall come toward your light. Hallelujah. And the kings to the brightness of your rising. So this verse is for evangelism. Do you see this now? Do you see this now? Okay, so the light was to shine upon Israel, then the Gentiles will see that light and then come to know the God of the Jews. That is what this is saying. Are you here? Are you here? You see the same thing in the next chapter. Isaiah 62 verse 1. He says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until our righteousness goes forth as what? Brightness. You see that again? As a light. And a salvation as a lamp that burns. Now, why is the light and brightness of Jerusalem going forth? Verse 2. The Gentiles shall see. Do you see that again? The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. And you shall be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. Hallelujah. So, Israel was chosen as a means for the nations to know God. So, when you go through Joshua, and you see Israel going through those lands, look at that as what? Evangelism, mission work going on. Do you get it? Do you get it? You see that later on, God repeats the same act of parting the Red Sea in Joshua. But this time, he parts the River Jordan in Joshua. You see that in Joshua 4. Now, why did God part the River Jordan? Joshua tells you in Joshua 4, verse 20. Okay? It says, and these 12 stones, Joshua 4:20, as we begin to close, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Now look at 21. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask, do you see this? Is this familial evangelism? Okay, their fathers, remember, making God known where? In the family. Okay, their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know. Do you see that? Saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry ground. Verse 23, for the Lord your God, do you see that again? Dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Do you see that again? Okay, until which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. So again, we see evangelism within the Jewish family. Okay, within the Jewish family. You see that Moses has said this also. You see that the Passover was actually to teach the children of Israel about the God who delivers from death. Look at Exodus 12 verse 24. Exodus 12 verse 24. And you shall observe this thing, Exodus 12:24, as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as a promise, that you shall keep his service, and it shall be when the children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That is the Passover. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Then you shall say It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered what? Our households. You see that again? So God's salvation in Egypt is used for what? An evangelism aid. God's salvation in Egypt is used for what? An evangelism aid. You know, Moses also instructs that they teach their children God's word. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them, do you see that? Diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as faultless between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see that? You see that? You see that Isaiah also says the same thing. Look at Isaiah 38, verse 19. Isaiah 38, verse 19. It says, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The father shall make known your truth to the children. Do you see that? So Israel's missionary function is for both their families and the nations. Do you see that now? Look at Joshua 4:23 again as we begin to close. Joshua 4:23. He says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before you until we had crossed over. 24, that all, do you see that? The peoples of the earth, can we say the nations, may know evangelism, making him known, right? The hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Hallelujah. So again, God parted the Jordan so that other nations could see. He's using Israel, like I used to say, to woo the nations. Okay? He's seducing them to come back to him. So Israel's role in the earth is clear. Israel is to draw foreigners to God, non-Jews. Their role is clear. Amen? God's purpose for Israel is to be the means by which the nations would know him. And that is why you see that 400 years later, now I'm jumping ahead of myself because I'll say this later on in this teaching, but let me just say it now. You see that 400 years later, when Solomon built the temple at Jerusalem, look at what he says in 1 Kings 8 verse 41. 1 Kings 8 41. Hallelujah. Are you here? 1 Kings 8:41. It says, moreover, concerning a foreigner, is that a non-Jew, who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country. Do you see that? Is that all the nations? Hallelujah. Do you see this? For your name's sake, for the word hair of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. Do you see this? So the Gentiles will hear, then what will they do? They will come to that temple, right? When he comes and prays toward this temple here in heaven. Do you see that? So this clearly shows that non-Jews were included in God's plan. Do you see this? It says, here in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you. So God will answer the prayers of even the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Do you see this? God would answer the prayers of even the foreigner, the Gentiles, that all the peoples of the earth, do you see that again, may know. That is the point. Your name, and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. So this again shows that God's plan is for the whole world. What is Solomon doing here? Solomon's prayer is revealing the heart of God. Okay? He wants the foreigner, the non-Jew, the stranger, the alien, just as much as he wants the Jew. Okay? He will hear the non-Jew when he calls to him. So God made provision for non-Jews to enter his temple. Hallelujah. Do you see this now? That shows you that God always wanted the world, the whole world. And that is why Solomon was blessed with wisdom, with great wisdom. Now, some people don't know why, again. Why was Solomon blessed with wisdom? Say, because God does like him. He was a fine boy. No. Solomon was blessed with wisdom for evangelism. Look at it. Look at 1 Kings 10, 23. As we begin to close, how many times have I said that? I'm so sorry. A good preacher closes 5 times. Right? 1 Kings 10, 23. Are you there? So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now why? What was the point? 24. Now all the earth. That's the point. Do you get it? Everything God will give to Israel is for what? All the earth. Do you see this? Do you see this? Sought the presence of Solomon to do what? To hear his wisdom, which what? God had put in his heart. Do you see it again? So all the blessings of God, the wisdom, everything God gave to Israel was not for show off. But they missed the point. Are you following what I'm saying here? They missed the point. It was to what? Draw people to God to believe. That was why God gave Solomon wisdom. So that men everywhere will hear about what? Wisdom. But not just wisdom. Who's wisdom? The wisdom of God. Is that evangelism? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay? So, Israel's task is clear. Very clear. They are to proclaim God's message to the nations of the earth. Look at David's statement in 1 Chronicles 16 verse 20. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 20. Another popular verse. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 20. It says, when they, that's Israel, right? When they went from one country or one nation to another, is that their pilgrimage? Their sojourning? What is it for? Evangelism, remember? Okay? And from one kingdom to another people, look at 21, he, that is God, permitted no man to do them wrong. That is, he protected them, right? Now, why? That's what you should always ask. Whenever God does something for Israel, okay? Just in your mind, put a why there immediately, okay? It tells you immediately. It says, yes, he rebuked kings for their sake. Is it because he loved the kings more than them? Huh? Look at 22. Saying, do not touch my anointed, or touch not my anointed, right? And do my prophets no harm. Have you heard this, the way this is used in churches today? You see a pastor who is molesting his church members, and then they call him, and then he says, the Bible says, touch not my anointed, if I be a man of God, right? In context, who is the anointed and the prophets? Your man of God? Israel. Hallelujah. AC Jesus. We will be delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. Touch not my anointed ones. That's clear, right? If you are using the NKJV, it makes it very clear. Because they use KJV. They say, touch not my anointed. So get the New King James. Amen. Pastor, why do you, did the New King James pay you to always be popular? I don't like them. They should pay me. Amen. They should actually pay me for the work I I make more people use their Bible. Okay, I just really love how they capture the Greek and Hebrew. Okay? So you know you can't say anointed ones here and say it's referring to you. Right? Aha. Because it's in NKJV now. And do my prophets no harm. So that refers to what? Israel. So why did God protect them? Because their word is anointed and is prophets. Look at verse 23. That is the reason why it says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Do you get it now? Proclaim the good news of what is salvation from day to day. Is this the reason why? Is this the reason why? Look at 24. Declare his glory among what? The nations. His wonders amongst what? The people. Do you see this now? So why were they protected? Why were they delivered, preserved for all those 40 years from destruction, death, so that they could what? Declare his glory among the nations. They were what? God's prophets. Thought not my anointed and prophet is Israel. Are you following me? Is Israel not your man of God? The man of God. No, is Israel. Prophet means what? Those who speak forth the words of God. That's what prophet means. Okay? What does that mean? It means that Israel's function, Israel's duty would include what? Speaking. Are you saying this now? Would include what? Speaking. So God wanted Israel to reveal him to all the nations. They were to be what? His spokespersons on the earth. Do you see this now? So God the evangelist now sends Israel as his representatives. Okay? And God's plan and purpose will be achieved when Jews and Gentiles, that is non-Jews, know him. Hallelujah. So we'll continue from here in the next session. Lift your hands and give him praise.